Well, good evening, and we welcome you back this evening for our time of worship together, and it is a time of worship. You know, this morning we had the privilege of taking the Lord's table together, and it is a wonderful privilege, a great opportunity. That is one of two ordinances our Lord gave to the church, and tonight it's our joy to follow the second commandment our Lord gave us in terms of ordinances, and that is in baptism. You know, it has become very unpopular in today's church, the ordinance of baptism, because it really doesn't sync with the culture. And yet I was just reminding those who will be baptized tonight that our Lord couldn't have been any clearer. In the week and a half or 2 weeks after his resurrection, when he met with the 500 believers in Galilee along with the 12 apostles, he commanded them at that point that they were to go into all the world, make disciples, and having made disciples, they were to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then they were to be taught all the things that he had commanded. He said this was to be done to the end of the age and in all nations around the world. So regardless of where disciples of Christ are made, regardless of when, they are to be baptized. And that's what we delight to do tonight, to see those who have come to genuine faith in Christ share their testimony and follow the Lord's directive to be baptized. Let me just remind you that baptism is a sign. It is a visible symbol that points to a spiritual reality. There's no miraculous water here. There's nothing that changes in the person as a result of this baptism. It is really a public testimony of their faith in Jesus Christ, that they have died to the person they used to be and have been raised with Christ to new life, to a life of following him, of being his disciple. That's already happened. And tonight is really merely the sign, the public proclamation of that great reality. I trust that you'll pray for those who will be baptized tonight, that you will pray for them both tonight as they share their testimony, and then as well that you'll pick one or two of them to remember in the coming days and weeks, that God would continue the work that he's begun, in some cases rather recently, and in other cases many, many years ago. But I think you'll be greatly encouraged by the testimonies that you hear tonight.
Hello, my name is Joel Anderson, and I'm here to share my testimony with you. I always knew there was a God, but I was never able to accept God because of the sin in my life. I was completely blinded by the pleasure of my sin. One day, my dad asked me to read James 1:23 through 24. For if anyone is a hearer and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looked at himself and gone away, he has completely forgotten what kind of person he was. And when I read this verse, it made me realize that I'm that man. So that the very night I prayed to God, asking for forgiveness, as tears ran down my cheek. I accepted Jesus as my Savior and wanted to be a godly man. After I finished my prayer, I had tears of joy and felt right with God. As I went to bed that night, I became a Christian, and I strive to be like Jesus Christ. I started doing more Bible studies, more praying, and sharing the Word of God with others at my school. I started to truly change my ways. I was excited for Jesus and learning more about God. I could see a change, and I am very thankful to have a loving and gracious God. Ephesians 2:8 through 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, and not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. I realize being baptized is an important part for you because it is an order of obedience to God. So I'm here tonight.
Well, Joel, thank you so much for your testimony. Thank you for reminding us that professing Christ, being in a church, being in a good home where you're taught the Word of God is not enough. Eventually, you have to come to the point of acknowledging your own sin and seeking salvation that's in Christ. Because you've made a clear confession of your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Grayson Vanover, and I'm 16 years old, and I've been attending a church since I was born. As a child, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church and was baptized at a very young age. I did not realize why I was being baptized or what exactly it meant. We stayed in the Presbyterian Church until I was roughly 7 or 8. At that age, we moved to an Episcopalian church. I became very close to many people there and became very involved in my youth group. Although I was very attached to the people there and in the youth group, I wasn't getting the doctrine that I just recently found very important in my walk with God. My parents were the first to realize this, and that is when we decided to move to Countryside. My brother's flight instructor, Charlie Yates, and after my mom spent a conversation with him, we visited Countryside and have been attending for over a year now. Since coming to Countryside, I've grown deeper into my walk with God, and I've realized how important reading the Bible is and trying to fully understand its meaning. I realize there is no way to heaven except through Christ, and that I'm a sinner in front of him, and all I deserve is his wrath. As Paul writes in Romans, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 6:23. I realize that I need to give my entire life to Christ, and I truly feel the need to repent to him. I feel I can sum this up in a verse from Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Mark 12:41-43. And that is why I'm here today.
Well, Grayson, thank you for your testimony. I remember when you guys first came and enjoyed several conversations as you pursued that doctrine and pursued the knowledge of God's Word. Because of your confession of faith in Jesus Christ as Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Colton Martin. Before my salvation, I lived for myself. I was self-centered, unloving, and very angry. I was disobedient to my family and teachers, unkind to most everyone, and I didn't even care. I drank alcohol and did drugs. I was a thief. I lived in a very dark world filled with resentment and evil. I enjoyed the things of the world and had no regard for God. I thought I knew who God was, and who Jesus was, but I really didn't. I hit my bottom when my life still landed me in jail. My drug use was discovered by my mother. It was about this time that something strange was happening deep inside me. Something seemed to be telling me that this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing with my life. I had this feeling that there was something missing, a better life for me than that I was living. So on Super Bowl Sunday, I was speaking to my friend Daryl, and about everything. I was about through and how I felt inside. He then asked me if I thought I'd go to heaven if I were to die on my way home from his house. I said, I guess, because I thought I was a good person. Even though I knew how I lived, I still thought I was good enough to get into heaven. He then told me that it says in Isaiah 64:4 that all my good efforts are like filthy rags to God. He also showed me in Romans 3:23 where it says that we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And he explained to me that without believing in Christ as my Lord and Savior and repenting from my life of sin, I would never get into heaven. And then read to me John 3:16 where it says that God loves me and that he sent his son just to die on the cross for my sins. And he read to me Ephesians 2:8 where it says that it's only by faith in what Jesus did for me that I would be saved, not by me trying to be a good person. I cried a lot because I felt so bad about how I lived, and I believed what Daryl showed me in the Bible. I also learned from Mark 16:19 that Jesus rose from the grave and is in heaven by God's side. Daryl gave me a Bible and told me how to pray. So on the way home, I asked Jesus to forgive me for my sins, and I told him how I wanted to turn away from how I was living, and I asked him to help me. I told Jesus all the things that Daryl had told me and how I believe it to be true. I said some things that I don't really remember because I was crying so much. I really can't explain, but the next day I felt different. I had a feeling of joy inside me that I had never experienced before. I loved people that I didn't even know. I didn't want to steal or drink or do drugs ever again. I felt for the first time in love of my mother, and I wanted to do good things for her. I started reading the Bible Daryl gave me, and I really enjoyed it. And I don't even like to read. He told me to read John 3 times. I'm still working on that. I pray every day and feel like I'm growing closer to the Lord. I've had to leave some of my friends behind, but that's not a problem. I have been coming to church every Sunday with Daryl and his wife Nancy, and I really love it here. After hearing that there was going to be a baptism, I asked Daryl about it, and now here I stand in Christ alone.
Colton, we rejoice in what God has done in your life, and it is his work. It's amazing, isn't it, to see his grace? Because of your clear confession of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, it's my joy to baptize you as one of his, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Daniel Underwood, and I would like to share my testimony with you tonight. I was born into a Christian family, and I always went to church. I heard the Bible stories from a young age, but I never fully comprehended the magnitude of the grace God has shown me. I was taught that Jesus died for my sins, but I still wanted to sin. I knew I wanted to do things my own way, and I knew I was a sinner. Sometimes when I went to church, it was more for my parents than myself. I had the conviction that I was not living the way God wanted me to live. Romans 3:23 says, All have sinned. God wanted me to live. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I started attending youth group when I was 15, and I expanded my knowledge of God's words. I knew I could do nothing to save myself. I needed a Savior. I needed Jesus. I don't remember the exact date, but I asked him to be the Lord of my life, and I put all my trust in Him. I repented from sinning, and now I try to do His will, not mine. I am so happy and secure knowing that I have been saved. I am very confident in my decision to follow Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want to share His love with others. Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For the grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so it is set no one may boast." So this is why I'm here tonight. Thank you.
Well, Daniel, thank you for your testimony. We're grateful for God's work in your life through various circumstances, including through your family. Because of your profession of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That was my son. My name is Deborah Underwood, and I thank you for listening to my testimony tonight. I was raised in a loving home, but a home with no faith. I had friends who were Christians, but I never attended church. When I was 13 years old, we had a tragedy in our family, and I turned indifference to God to outright hostility. Actually, I told myself and everyone else who would listen that I didn't believe in God. I was angry, living for myself, and believing that I could handle anything on my own, and I especially thought I was smart. I was blind, and I was dead in sin. As Scripture says in Isaiah 5:21, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." I knew in my heart that something was missing in me. I was totally lost, a slave to sin, and in desperate need of a Savior because I could not save myself. God, in His infinite love and mercy, sent someone to witness to me when I was 22 years old. He was a friend of my family, and he invited me to go to church with him. After months of asking, I finally agreed. It was the first time I'd ever been to a church, and I was really afraid to go. I believe now that I was afraid that God would see the real me, and then I realized that God already saw the real me, and He loved me so much that He sent His own sinless Son to die in my place. The moment I believed and put my faith in Christ alone, I was saved, not by anything in me, but by grace alone. The punishment I deserve was placed on Christ. His righteousness was applied to me. I was saved and I was free. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, and behold, new things have come." I repented from my sins at that moment. Though it will always be a struggle, I know the Holy Spirit will guide me in the path of righteousness. My life since that time has been the most incredible gift. I am so happy and so incredibly thankful for the mercy and the love of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He has blessed me in every way, and I love to spend time in the Word now and attend worship services. And of course, there have been difficult times in my life, as with every other Christian. James 1, 2 through 4 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. With Christ, I am lacking in nothing. So I am here tonight in obedience to His command to be baptized. Thank you."
Well, Deborah, thank you for your testimony. I know it's a real joy for you tonight to be baptized along with your son, Daniel. Thank you for your clear testimony of faith in Christ, that it is by grace alone, through His work alone, and simply through the channel of faith that He Himself has given to you, that you've come to know Him. Because of your profession of faith in Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Bobby Brazier, and this is God's testimony in my life. I have been attending Countryside for a little over 3 years. I was born and raised as a sinner. My definition of a sinner was someone good who did bad things. My life was filled with patterns of sin that would one day catch up to me. These patterns of sin became worse as I grew wiser. I became a professing Christian over 13 years ago and thought everything was under control. After all, I had my salvation that could not be taken away. I had confessed that I was a sinner. I was a good person who just did bad things. I had asked Jesus into my heart. I served the church. I thought I was on the right road. The problem was, I didn't have it figured out. Because my sin and my attitude towards sin, the attitude never changed towards my sin, and it caught up with me. God in His sovereignty brought my sin into the light, and my eyes and my heart were opened. I found myself humbled and looking for answers. In God's perfect timing, He brought me to Countryside around the time that Tom was starting in Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. I remember Tom saying that these 10 verses had a profound impact on his life, and hopefully will have the same on yours. Little did I know it would have a profound impact on my life as well. If I can take us there to, and I promise not to stay in Ephesians 2 as long as Tom did. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now in the sons of disobedience. Among them too, we all formerly lived, in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love, and with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. If you were just to read through these verses, you would miss the richness that is embedded within them. We are so blessed to have godly leaders who are dedicated to a deep teaching of God's Word. Through the in-depth study of these verses, these are the truths that God revealed to me and how they changed my life. He showed me how wicked I am and why Jesus had to come. He showed me that I was the one mocking Jesus. I was the one that beat Him. I was the one who put the thorns into His head. I was the one who was standing on Calvary driving the nails into my Savior's hands and feet. I'm the one who pushed the spear into His side. I'm the one who crucified my Lord. I'm the reason He came. Now I know what a sinner is. I deserve God's wrath to burn in hell for the rest of eternity. But by His mercy, He didn't give me what I deserve. And by His grace, He gave me what I didn't deserve. He gave me life. He gave me forgiveness for crucifying His Son, and cleansed me from my faith, my filth. And by His love, He revealed to me His holiness, His righteousness, and His sovereignty. He has shown me that I am no longer my own. I was bought with the price, my Savior's blood. He showed me He is deserving of my worship, my praise, my obedience, and honor. And that's the reason I'm alive, to glorify His name. Before I complained about my trials and circumstances, now I see the potter's hands molding me into the one who glorifies and honors him. And now I rejoice. Before, it was about what I wanted. Now it's about how can I serve him and glorify his name. Before, I liked the darkness for what it concealed. Now I love the light for what it exposes. God is continuously exposing sin in my life all the time. I am still a sinner, but with a different attitude, desire, and one who has received forgiveness. I wish I could stand here and say to you that everything has been perfect in my life since God gave me new life, but the war between righteousness and evil intensifies when the devil loses one, and we still have to live in the circumstances that we created. Thank goodness that God is in control, and his will be accomplished. I am so blessed to be a part of this church dedicated to the teaching of God's word. I come now to be baptized as a public profession of my faith and obedience to my Master and Savior, Jesus Christ.
That is an amazing passage of Scripture, isn't it, Bobby? And I rejoice that God used his word, as he did in all of our lives, to open our eyes to who we really are, and also open our eyes to the beauty of Christ. Because you've seen Christ, and because you have confessed him as Lord, because you see his beauty, and you've committed yourself to follow him, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Priscilla Snyder. I never remember a time when I didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was raised in a very strict Church of Christ home, and I accepted the teachings that I was given. And my sins were ever before me, and I knew I was deserving of God's condemnation. And I'd been taught that I need to be baptized to be saved. So at about the age of 11, my dad baptized me in a stock pond. It was much easier. It was on that afternoon that my struggle to understand the truth about salvation really began. I had a bad thought about my sister shortly after baptism. No one knew that I'd had that thought, but I knew that God knew, because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, seeing the evil and the good. And once again, I felt stained and condemned. The condemnation from my conscience was unbearable. Every day I tried to be good enough. Really, I tried to be perfect, but instead, I daily added to the debt I owed for my sin. Every sin I committed weighed heavily on me, and I knew there were other sins of which I wasn't even aware. For many years, I was torn between what I'd been taught and what I was reading in the Bible. After marriage, I would read from Romans and Galatians during the sermons. I attended Christian Women's Club, and later we joined a small home fellowship that had left the Church of Christ. And then in 1988, we moved to Grapevine and we found Countryside. And through exposure to God's word at these various ministries, my eyes were opened to the truth about grace versus good works. I can't describe the relief and joy I felt when I finally put my faith in Jesus to save me and threw off the false teaching that I was responsible for before God to be good enough. Titus 3:5 says he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy. You might rethink that I would regret the good works teaching I received as a youth, but I do not. I thank God for taking me down this path. And I think that he knew what a good little rule keeper I am by nature, and that he knew I would have to try to be good enough for many years to finally come to the end of myself. I thank God for giving me his word so I could learn the truth about how to know him. And I thank God for providing the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ to cleanse me. And I thank God for loving me when I was completely unlovable. I can't tell you when my salvation was sealed. I really don't even know the decade for sure. However, I can tell you that I have trusted in Christ's finished work on the cross and that none of my hope rests in my own righteousness. Because I have become convinced that all those years ago I was trusting in my baptism to save me, I have asked to be baptized again.
Priscilla, thank you so much for your testimony of faith. Because you have come to clearly renounce anything in you as your source of hope in heaven, and instead to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in Him alone, in His finished work, and in His perfect life, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, my name is Larry Snyder. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were recent converts to the Church of Christ when I was born, so I've been in church all my life, beginning when I was 3 days old. When I was 3 years old, my parents moved from Illinois to southern New Mexico, where I spent most of my teenage years, and I grew up in a small church that averaged 30 or so, mostly older folks, and where I was the only child in the church. I walked the aisle, made a profession of faith, and was baptized when I was 11 at a summer camp that trained young men to become Church of Christ song leaders. Unfortunately, it was not because I believed in Christ, but it was because I enjoyed leading the singing, and I knew they wouldn't let me if I wasn't baptized. That one act is a pretty good reflection of who I was most of my childhood. And Jesus described me in Matthew 23:27-28 when he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Over the next 3 years, I looked the part of the committed Christian. I led music most Sunday evenings, and if I wasn't leading music, I was in the pulpit reading a tract to the congregation, early teenager version of preaching. During the week, I worked with my dad on maintaining the church building. But by age 14, I'd come to realize that despite all of the good works that I was engaged in, I really wasn't saved at all. And so I was baptized again at summer camp, this time understanding that I was a horrible sinner in desperate need of the salvation that only Jesus Christ could offer. I fully understood that all the good things that I could ever do in my life were as filthy rags before God because I wasn't trusting in His Son for salvation. When I returned home, I continued to participate in the worship services, more and more, wanting to do everything I could to serve Christ. After I graduated from high school, I moved to Texas and joined the church that Priscilla and her family attended. It was about 10 times larger than the one I had grown up in, but soon I was in a rotation of young men who were regularly leading music and preaching on Sunday evenings. 3 years after I moved to Texas, Priscilla and I married, and we both continued to serve in the church. Even though I was preaching Church of Christ doctrine quite regularly, Priscilla understood a lot faster than I did that their doctrine was really all based on good works. There were many Sundays when she would be reading in Romans or Galatians during the sermon, and she would nudge me and point out that, you know, a scripture that refuted the various tenets of the Church of Christ doctrine. I basically ignored her and just told her to be quiet and let me listen to the sermon. The Lord opened my eyes to it all after we'd been married about 2 years. One evening, while I was preparing a sermon for the coming Sunday evening, I was searching for a particular verse from the Church of Christ rabbit trail for a point that I wanted to make. I knew I was in the right book, and I thought I was in the right chapter, but I couldn't find the specific verse I was looking for. So I read the entire chapter, but I still couldn't find the verse. So I backed up and I read the chapter before, and then I read the chapter after it. I did eventually come across the verse I was looking for, but I discovered that in the context of the verses and chapters before and after it, it really meant something totally different than what the Church of Christ had said it meant. The Lord opened my eyes that night to his real gospel, and I came to understand that night that all my good works weren't going to save me. I saw myself probably for the first time as the horrible, wretched sinner that I was, and understood that I desperately needed a Savior, and that Jesus Christ was the only one that could save me. 1 Timothy 1:15 is me. It's a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. But thanks to Christ, I'm also Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I have known for all of the 22 plus years that I've been at Countryside that there is nothing I can contribute to my salvation. For most of the years since that night when the Lord opened my eyes, I allowed myself to overlook the teaching that I was baptized under, and generally considered myself saved at the age of 14. But in recent years, the Spirit and the Word have convinced me that I really wasn't saved then, but rather much later in my life, and that I've never been scripturally baptized. The fact is, I was baptized in a church where they teach that it is the act of baptism that actually saves you, and not the work of Christ in your heart. So let me say it as clearly as I can. That teaching is false. Before Christ saved me, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. As Paul says in Ephesians 2:4-9, but God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, that no one should boast. So while, like Priscilla, I do not know the exact moment I was made into a new creation, I do know that I am his child, and I come tonight to be baptized in obedience to his command to do so, not for the purpose of salvation, but because I am saved, and he has changed my life and made me his child by his grace.
Larry, thank you so much for your clear testimony. He and I met, we talked through the issues of his former baptism, and after his much soul-searching and prayer, came to this conclusion, and I know the Lord will honor your desire to please him, to obey him. Larry, because you have clearly renounced any effort and work that you have done as the source of your hope before God, because you have placed your faith in the life of Jesus Christ and in his sacrificial death and in his resurrection alone, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, it's been a wonderful evening, hasn't it? I know your own heart has been encouraged as mine has. So many different ways and yet so many similarities. I hear my story as you probably hear your story in several of the testimonies, and yet a different tract at the same time as God works his amazing work in our lives to bring us to himself. I want to conclude our time tonight by praying, but before I do that, I just want to do two things. First of all, I want to challenge those of you who are here tonight who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have confessed him as Lord and Savior, and yet you have not been baptized. This is not optional for the follower of Christ. In fact, it comes immediately after you become his disciple, or as soon after as you realize that you have not and need to be. And then comes the teaching in which you learn all that you need to know about following him. So I urge you, don't put it off. Even as these have mustered the courage and have followed the Lord's command, I urge you to do the same if that's your situation tonight. Secondly, I want to just really encourage you to examine your own heart. This is a good time as we hear God's work and how there were several who testified tonight that for a while, for a time, they thought they were genuinely in Christ, but their faith was in something else. Their faith was in their own efforts, in their baptism, in some work they had done, in the path of obedience they had tried to pursue. Tonight, if your faith is anywhere but in Jesus Christ, then you've embraced a false gospel. And I urge you, before your head hits the pillow, to find yourself alone with Christ and come to Him as a beggar, pleading with Him to do in your life what He has done in the lives of those whose testimonies you've heard. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are so grateful for your goodness and your work in each of these lives. We thank you for Joel and for Colton, for Priscilla and Larry, for Grayson, for Bobby, for Daniel and Deborah. Lord, thank you for your work in each of their lives and the unique way that you drew them to yourself, the circumstances in which you placed them. Lord, with the families and friends that are gathered here tonight, we rejoice with your work in their lives. And we pray that you would continue that work that you have begun to bring them, like ourselves, to a deeper level of spiritual growth and maturity each day. Father, we pray as well for those who might be here tonight and who are still trusting in something that is in them, or some merit that they have attained, or some spiritual activity or exercise or spiritual heritage as their trust and hope of heaven. Father, I pray that you would strip that away this evening, and may they see themselves as we all are, as beggars before you, with only the life and death of Jesus Christ as our hope. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the reminder, even tonight, of what you have done in each of our lives. May we go forth from here openly telling others about the good news that you've used to bring us to yourself. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.